The $39.4 million increase in Arkansas's revenue forecast for the last 2 months of the fiscal year means the state can fund second-tier annual budget priorities and provide some money for Medicaid. However, analysts note the positive trend in revenue collections will do little to close a looming $400 million Medicaid shortfall in 2 years. In the last installment of a two-part series, FM89's Malcolm Glover reports that the expected deficit is of great concern to organizations that provide health services.
Youth Home, an intensive psychiatric treatment program in Arkansas for young people ages 12 to 18, occupies 55 acres in West Little Rock. Various education, recreation, and administrative facilities are situated throughout the campus, and there are dorms, like Crestview House, a residence for girls who require inpatient treatment.
I've been trying to mess up the picture.
Okay.
Keisha Clemens greets me at the front door. She manages the house and has worked with Youth Home since 2006.
Well, we have up to 10 girls, variety of ages. Back there are the dorm areas.
Inside the house, there's a kitchen, a dining area, and space for meeting and lounging so the girls can do homework, chat, and have group therapy sessions. Most treatment services provided by Youth Home are funded through Medicaid.
Actually, they just got back home from school. Once they get in here, we have to check them to make sure they're not bringing any contraband, which could be letters, which could be pencils. We don't want them to hurt anyone. So
all of the girls living in the house go to school on the Youth Home campus. Some have a regular curriculum, while others with learning challenges take special ed courses. In the afternoon, when the girls return to Crestview House, they usually talk about their school day and sometimes discuss more serious issues.
We have girls that have sexual abuse issues, physical abuse issues. So, you know, someone may have hurt them in the past, so we have to gain their trust here.
Former Youth Home patient Michelle Blaney says trusting strangers was difficult when she first arrived on campus in 2006.
I remember the house that I stayed in, Rose House. I was here for about 6 months, and it does bring back a lot of memories, some good, some not so good, but you know, that's with life. You have your good and your bad memories.
Blaney says being separated from family was tough, but classes and counselors at Youth Home helped her focus on educational goals and emotional healing.
I was always used to being at home, being with my mom and, you know, my younger brother, and going from being in a public school of over, you know, 1,500 people to a school of very few, it's a different transition. But after a while, I got used to it.
Just like the young girls who use Youth Home services, boys have similar emotional and behavioral problems that often arise from abuse, neglect, and medical conditions.
My name is John Pulliam. I'm a unit manager here at Youth Home.
Pulliam has worked with the organization for 17 years. He spends a lot of time counseling the boys on campus.
One of the biggest things that I tell the kids, it's perfectly okay and natural to get angry. You know, it's what you choose to do with that that decides whether you're right or wrong. We can't force them to make the right choice. If they make the wrong choice, you know, we just continue to work with them.
Darren Reeves oversees outpatient and community-based services for Youth Home.
When I get to see a child in a family take a very stressful situation like a trauma, a major loss, something where their whole world's turned upside down, and through therapy we're able to kind of put the pieces back together and help them reclaim their family. That's what does it for me every day.
Back inside Crestview House, it's evident that at a time when state budget woes mean reductions in Medicaid funding, Youth Home officials have to deal with other obstacles, like not having enough space for residential treatment.
We have 10 girls here. Our youngest is 14 and our oldest is 17. We have one that'll be discharging on Friday, and then we'll have another one coming right in. So our waiting list has been pretty active, because as soon as one leaves, we have one coming in.
Some years ago, the Arkansas legislature put a moratorium on new beds at treatment facilities in central Arkansas, like Youth Home. The decision was part of an effort to encourage the creation of similar programs in rural parts of the state. However, it has been difficult to get good doctors, nurses, and support staff to move to those areas and start health, wellness, and medical programs. Currently, the moratorium is intact, so no new beds in central Arkansas, and a gap in support services continues in rural regions. Keisha Clemens admits possible state funding setbacks for programs that offer comprehensive care can be difficult, but she enjoys playing a part in changing children's lives.
Being a part of the youth home team, really, I mean, it means the world to me, you know.
Keisha sits behind her desk in the foyer of Crestview House and watches the girls get ready for dinner.
Yes, it's challenging, but I feel that the reward of knowing the progress and the achievement that I see them make, I mean, it totally outweighs the bad days.
Arkansas officials are concerned about possible bad days on the horizon. Governor Mike Beebe has already said the state will probably have to channel more revenue toward Medicaid to pay for a shortfall of up to $400 million in the 2014 fiscal year, and service cuts may be necessary to close the funding gap. Without state funding, finance officials say Arkansas could lose up to $900 million in federal matching funds, creating a potential gap of $1.3 billion for Medicaid. In Little Rock, I'm Malcolm Glover.